Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute is a fine arts center dedicated to serving diverse audiences by advancing the appreciation, understanding, and enjoyment of the arts. The Art Institute aims to promote interest and participation in the arts and stimulate artistic self-expression and personal creativity. The Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute continues to assume a leadership and advocacy role for the arts in Utica, New York. They were founded in 1919, and if you do some quick math, you'll realize it's their 100th anniversary, and they are celebrating, as they rightfully should. It's a great pleasure to welcome Institute President and CEO Anna D'Ambrosia. Good morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, good morning. It's nice to be here again.
Oh, we love having you here.
Thank you.
So last time we were talking about Tiffany, I believe.
We were. It was a great exhibition, great summer.
And now we really look, and you get to pat yourself on the back a little bit and say, look, we've been around for 100 years, and this is what we've done.
100 years, it's a great opportunity to celebrate the effect that the Institute has had on our community for all of that time and where we're going in the future.
So let's start. We'll talk about the future in a second, but sure. I'm fascinated. I mean, you know this, of course, but 100 years is a long time.
It is a long time. Right. You imagine that the tens of thousands, million, who knows how many people have gone through our doors and participated.
So you think of what the mission was in 1919, what the mission is now. Mm-hmm. How has that changed? Because it really hasn't fundamentally changed.
No, it's interesting that our founders, it's three generations of one family, they always had in mind a civic institution that would make the arts available to everyone. I mean, that was their goal. And they also always had in mind that it would be a multifaceted organization, that there would be a museum of art. They called it a community arts at the time, but that was the foundation for the museum of art. They were always interested in music and performing arts and always interested in art education. So the School of Art was always essential to the Institute from the beginning as well.
So when it comes to your job, is your background in fine arts? Is your performing arts? What is your background in?
My background actually is in museum studies and art
museum.
History.
Mm-hmm. So that is a big part of what you do, obviously.
It is. So we have three main program divisions, the Museum of Art, the School of Art, and Performing Arts. And then the School of Art has two branches, a great active community arts program. So you can take classes from pre-K, really, all the way up to your retirement years. And then 19 years ago, we started an affiliation with Pratt Institute in Brooklyn. So we have freshmen, sophomores on our campus in our program called Pratt MWP College of Art and Design. And those freshmen, sophomores, we have about 200 students, are fully matriculated Pratt students from the beginning, but spend their first 2 years on our campus.
In reading the timeline over the last 100 years, where does the I was fascinated. I have some questions about that. So let me get to one, which is your building, the main building, the big, beautiful building you're in now goes back to how long?
1960. So
okay.
Our main building on campus is a Philip Johnson designed Museum of Art building, opened in 1960. Philip Johnson, of course, a renowned 20th century American architect, and this was his first museum building.
Dedicated in October, and then you're off to the races.
We are off to the races, right?
Yeah. So you have a home, and that's really, I mean, obviously you'd been doing a lot prior to that, but that's the museum that sort of that we think of now, that's
The Philip Johnson building, right.
Yes.
When the last generation of the family died, they left us two family homes and the carriage shed and stables, and we acquired additional property, and now we actually have 28 buildings on 10 acres in downtown Utica.
In some of the in the early days, you read about the acquiring of paintings, of whether it be a Jackson Pollock or Kandinsky. How much of that acquiring of art goes on now still?
Well, certainly we wouldn't be able to afford to buy a Jackson Pollock or a Kandinsky now. It was amazing what they were acquiring in the 50s and 60s. We had a great advisor working with the Museum of Art named Edward Wales Root, and he also then left us his collection. And he was going to give us, say, his two smaller Jackson Pollocks. I call them the domestic scale Jackson Pollocks. And he said, you need a really grand museum quality Jackson Pollock. And so we acquired 1949, number two, 1949 in 1954, so just a few years after it was painted. And much of the American Modernist collection was acquired from the artists themselves. So it was, we have great archives from some of that work with Rood and the artists, such as Charles Birchfield, for example. And he was just guiding us to make acquisitions that we were ahead of the curve and made some phenomenal purchases.
But museums of your size now, I assume, don't make a lot of acquisitions, don't have...
We still regularly acquire works of art, both through gift and through purchase, but not on the robust scale that we were doing in the 50s and 60s.
And that says a lot about the market, doesn't it?
Yeah, the market is, especially the market for modern contemporary American art, is really astronomical.
And then how does that all play into, when it comes to acquisitions and just programming in general, about the other mission, which, of course, is to reflect the community that you're in and you're serving?
So for us, of course, it's always about balance. And one of the goals for the exhibition program, it's certainly about balance so that we bring in these special summer exhibitions where they offer opportunities to our audience to see artworks that they would never see otherwise.
Right.
Or sometimes it's about experiences, whether it's a performing arts, a live concert that we're able to bring a nationally or internationally recognized performer to our stage, or even special programs like the Corning Museum of Glass Hot Glass Roadshow we did this summer out on the front lawn of the museum and had 9,000 people in 10 days. So we want to offer a variety of experiences. And then we also, of course, do a lot of exhibitions in the museum with the permanent collection.
So let's talk about the future. I know you are in the middle of, right, a major capital campaign. Is that correct?
Well, it's a centennial campaign.
Centennial campaign.
Yes. So the centennial campaign, and I have to say there's really a fabulous video about it.
There is.
On our website.
Yes.
The centennial campaign is about raising funds to set the foundation for the future. So to celebrate our past and build for the future. And what we will do with the funds from the centennial campaign is do a campus master plan. So as I said, we had 10 acres, 28 buildings, a lot of infrastructure. We want to make that neighborhood and make Munson Williams in that neighborhood more accessible to the public, hold more events on our campus. And we also want to enliven our campus with special programs, some sculpture installations, and I think that invite the neighborhood more onto our campus.
When you think about your place in the neighborhood, what are the challenges in doing that on a day-to-day basis of getting everybody in line?
Right. So it has its challenges in that because we are an open campus, completely
right.
Open campus. Sometimes when people are new to our campus trying to find a building, right, the wayfinding can be challenging because we're in a number of city blocks. But it gives us great opportunities to be part of downtown. And the Utica downtown is going through a wonderful revitalization, and we're excited to be part of that. Along the main thoroughfare in Utica, which is Genesee Street, Munson Williams owns the largest stretch of green space along that main thoroughfare. So we look forward to the future and think about how can we activate that space with the special programs, with seating, with new plantings. And the Philip Johnson-designed building is a little bit intimidating. You know, it's an international-style building from 1960.
Yeah.
And we want everyone to feel free to come in that front door. We are free. We are free. And that's an incredible asset for our community.
It's interesting that I've heard that from other directors, that sometimes the building can be so grand that it's intimidating. That's interesting.
It is. And that's so common with art museums from the late 19th and 20th century. Lots of them built in a park, lots of them with the big grand
yes.
staircase going up to them.
Very august.
It's really important to Munson Williams, and it was to our founders, that we were in downtown, you know, not out in a park that in
right.
some rural setting, but that we were in the heart of the city so that the arts were accessible to all.
And you do that, and you're able to do that because you're right in the center of of town.
Absolutely.
What? How do you think, what's the timeline for the campaign?
Well, we're over halfway, so we're doing very well. We have also have a matching challenge from the Community Foundation of Herkimer and Oneida Counties, so that will help give us an extra push. We'll round, I think we'll finish it up at the beginning of 2020. That's our goal.
When you were talking about the Corning program and things, how far in advance, because it's always something, right? It's always...
Yeah, there's always something.
There's always something going on.
There is always something going on.
And figuring out where they're going to be and what you're, quote unquote, competing with and this time and that time. I assume all of that is probably fun.
It is fun.
And yet a challenge.
One of the great things about Munson Williams is because we are a multifaceted organization with the museum, performing arts, and the school, we can do events that build on that and that bring all of those components together and therefore offer our visitors a really holistic experience. But we are planning for exhibitions, for example, 3 years out, sometimes 4 years out. Gets a little more gray when you get 4 years out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, with an exhibition, for example, we can use that as a centerpiece of bringing in a performing arts or national speaker or offering a community arts class at the School of Art so that we can take one theme and branch it out across the organization.
How are the arts doing, do you think, in general? And I ask this because you're in the middle of a campaign and you're out making a push every day of how people prioritize and feel about that.
Right. We talk about that, of course, all the time.
Right.
And that the arts offer these transformational experiences. And I often say that people say, oh, you know, I can look on my computer or I can see that Jackson Pollock online. You know, you can't. You can't look at a painting that's over 20 feet wide on a small computer screen and think that you are having the same experience. You know, the texture, the subtleties of color, the gestures. And that's really true for music, right? I mean, listening to something on your phone with headphones is not the same as the energy and dynamism of going to a live concert.
Well, you have to have a conversation with my wife about that, but yes, okay, go.
But I mean, that's absolutely true.
So let's get tickets. No, we can just listen to it at home. Wouldn't that be much easier?
Never, it's different.
Never
the same. So we talk about those authentic experiences and how they change people. And one of the things, you know, about that video is that we talked to people who had those transformational experiences at Munson Williams, who a gentleman who was in the first community arts children's class and how that shaped his future. Another gentleman who is a bank president now downtown, but when he was a kid, he got an allowance and he bought classic comics. And then he came and it was his private reading space. He went into one of the galleries at the museum surrounded by 19th century paintings and read his classic comics and how that affected him as an adult, his appreciation for art and what art means. So everybody has a different experience, but everyone is affected by artworks, by creating art, or by a live performance.
Had he saved them and given them to you, you wouldn't have had to have a centennial campaign.
Yeah, that's right.
I was reading your work on celebrating the past, building the future, and it's this is interesting because it shows me how much you and the folks in charge of the museum, the board, and so forth, of how important the founders are.
Yes, right. When you have a name like Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute, you're going to celebrate your founders because they are front and center. And that they were so civic-minded, all three generations of that family. And when the last family did not have any heirs, they certainly wanted to have a positive effect on the community and a long-standing one.
So what's in the museum now?
Oh, what's at the museum now? Right now, we have a great exhibition called Astonishing Brilliance, which talks about light moving from natural light and candlelight and the effects of the evolution of artificial light and how that affected everything from how we dressed ourselves, but how we perceived color and how we perceived artworks. We have a great exhibition called Magnificent, Marvelous, and Malevolent, The Art of Elihu Vedder, wonderful piece where it talks a lot about mythology. And we have some great games coming up that are associated with that exhibition. People who like, what do you do when you get locked in a room and you got to solve a puzzle?
Oh, yeah, those. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, those games. Well, we've developed something like that that will take place in the museum. And so we have that coming up. And I have to say, one great event, great introduction to Munson Williams. People could come to a First Friday of the month, 5 to 7:30 cocktail parties, live music, micro tours. Just a great time and a great introduction to everything that the organization has to offer.
A lot going on. There are many escape rooms, I guess they're called.
Oh, escape rooms. Thank you very much.
All right. Just had to look that up. I didn't want people yelling at the radio. Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute, MWPAI. Is that how you all...
MWPAI.org.
MWPAI.org is where you can find out information about the museum. Plan a trip and see what's going on over there and celebrate that 100th anniversary. Again, it's MWPAI.org for more information. Anna D'Ambrosio is the Institute President and CEO. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Thanks so much
for making the trek. Thank you. It's fun to be here. I appreciate it.
Love talking to you. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.